Picture a kitchen lit by a single lamp, late evening. A woman sits at the table, pencil in hand, circling a photograph of a chrome toaster in a thick catalog that smells faintly of paper and dust. Outside, the delivery truck creaks down Main Street, and the neighbor's dog barks once before fading into the night. That catalog, fat with pages, lined in tiny type and glossy pictures, was more than a shopping list. It was a promise, a path to a new kind of home, step by slow step. Tonight, we'll follow that path. Good evening, and welcome to Financial Time Machine. I'm Megan Thomas. Tonight, we're stepping back into another chapter of everyday American life, exploring the money, culture, habits, and quiet routines that shaped previous generations. From grocery stores and family dinners, to old advertisements, retirement dreams, and the way people once thought about debt, security, and success, this podcast is a journey through the forgotten rhythms of American life. Somewhere between nostalgia and history, there's usually a lesson. So settle in, slow down for a little while, and let's take a trip back in time. This is Financial Time Machine. Tonight's chapter is titled The Catalog That Built Main Street. For more than half a century, thick mail order books stacked in basements and on kitchen tables shaped how Americans furnished houses, dressed children, and even more quietly, thought about value and credit. We'll talk about how a single book moved goods across thousands of miles, how it taught patience, and how it set expectations we still carry today. The story begins in the late 19th and early 20th centuries when entrepreneurs realized there were more customers beyond the railroad towns than inside them. Catalogs like the one from Sears, Roebuck & Company, turned into rolling showrooms. Instead of walking into a downtown store, families thumbed through a book that offered thousands of items, tools, clothing, stoves, even homes on order. The photos and descriptions made faraway goods feel familiar, and the price tags, printed clearly, made them feel within reach. In small towns, the catalog became ritual. On Saturday night, after the chores were done, someone would bring the book to the table. A mother might circle a dress for the child, a father might underline a reliable wrench, or a young couple would stare at photos of a modern electric range and imagine dinner done faster, cleaner, better. That quiet domestic scene repeated itself across countless kitchens. Ordering was a slower choreography than today's one-click routine. You filled out a slip, enclosed a check, or used a charge account, and then you waited, sometimes weeks, sometimes months. The waiting mattered. It stretched desire into planning, saving a little here, holding off on something else there. When the crate finally arrived, heavy, labeled, stamped, it felt like an event. Neighbors might gather to help carry in a new piece of furniture. The delivery day created small social moments that online shopping rarely gives us. Beyond convenience, the catalog introduced another powerful idea, standardized choice. Before national mail order catalogs, options were local and limited by what a downtown merchant stocked. A single central catalog flattened regional differences by offering the same model of radio or the same pattern of china to families hundreds of miles apart. Over time, that sameness helped create a shared national taste, kitchens and living rooms that looked familiar, whether you lived in Kansas or Maine. Credit and installment plans were central to that change. Companies offered charge accounts and ways to pay over time, which meant families could afford larger purchases without saving the full amount up front. That shift expanded what a typical household could own: washing machines, refrigerators, radios, items that redefined comfort and domestic labor. But credit also introduced new responsibilities: accounts to manage, payments to keep current, and sometimes the social stigma of being behind. Catalog credit made modern consumption possible and complicated. Certain products really shaped daily life. The electric range promised less time over the stove and more predictable meals. The affordable radio turned evenings into shared experiences. News, comedy, serialized drama, binding families to national culture. Even clothing catalogs changed wardrobes and expectations about seasonal fashions. Each product carried its own little revolution, saving time, connecting people, or signaling new status in a quiet, material way.
There were pitfalls, of course. The catalog flattened some local craft traditions and centralized taste in ways that erased variety. Credit made ownership easier, but sometimes encouraged purchases that strained tight budgets. And while the ritual of waiting brought small communal joys, it could also teach families to delay needs they couldn't afford. Like many of history's conveniences, catalogs carried both comfort and compliment.
If we look at catalogs alongside today's online marketplaces, the contrast is striking. Now, choice is immediate and abundant. A device in your pocket can summon nearly anything overnight. But what did we trade away for speed? Anticipation. The small public rituals around delivery day. The habit of planning and stretching a budget to meet a distant desired thing. Modern convenience flattened the waiting period, and with it, some of the meaning that came from keeping a wish on the calendar and seeing it arrive weeks later.
So what did catalog culture teach us that still matters? First, patience had value. Waiting forced choices to be deliberate. Second, centralized choice created shared culture. People across regions found common tastes. Third, credit expanded access but required responsibility. Those lessons don't map neatly onto the present. Instant delivery and subscription models have different economics, but they remind us that how goods reach us shapes how we live and what we expect.
As we close tonight, picture that lamplit kitchen again, the penciled circles, the anticipation, the crate on the porch. The catalog didn't just sell goods, it sold a way of living that shaped tastes, budgets, and expectations for decades. Some pieces of that rhythm are worth keeping. Deliberation, shared tastes. And that's where we'll leave our journey tonight. The past may look different through modern eyes, but sometimes, hidden inside old routines and forgotten traditions, we find pieces of ourselves we've been missing. Thank you for spending a little time traveling through history with me. Until next time, keep one foot in the past. Good night, and thanks for listening to Financial Time Machine. Dadgum.